Black men in Wisconsin are incarcerated at a significantly higher rate than white men, but that disparity is starting to go down. A new study from researchers at UW-Madison, published in the journal Demography, found that overall incarceration rates have decreased over the last 20 years and are decreasing the fastest for black men. The trend is signaling a shift away from mass incarceration for younger generations, but there's still concerns about those racial disparities that can lead to inequitable outcomes for a lot of people of color. Wisconsin remains the state with the largest disparity between black and white male incarceration. Jason Roby is one of the co-authors of this new study, which he worked on as a graduate student at UW-Madison. He's now an assistant professor in the School of Criminal Justice at the University at Albany, SUNY. Jason, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. I'm a longtime listener of public radio in Central Time. I'm excited to be here with you.
Well, glad to have you with us. Now, we saw a huge trend toward more and more incarceration starting, I think, around the 70s. What are we seeing now? What kind of changes are we seeing in incarceration rates here in Wisconsin in your new study?
Yeah, so our study looks both at Wisconsin and nationally. And so you're exactly right. Incarceration rates in the United States started increasing in the 1970s and increased about sevenfold from the 1970s through 2007 is when incarceration rates peaked nationally in the United States. And they declined by about 20% from 2007 to 2019. But for black men, as you said earlier, the incarceration rate actually peaked earlier in 2001 and has declined by about 45% from 2001 to 2019. And also in Wisconsin in particular, as the listeners might be interested, the incarceration rate for black men in Wisconsin peaked in 1999 and has declined by about 31%.
Now, you are looking at the numbers in this report. Is there a sense of why? Why are we seeing these incarceration rates going down?
Yeah, so we don't, in this particular paper, we don't analyze why the incarceration rates have started to decline, but we do review some of the previous research that helps provide some context for this. In short, it's really happening throughout the process of the criminal justice system. So crime rates in the United States have just declined substantially since the 1990s. About half of what they were back then. Recent cohorts of youth in particular have lower rates of criminal behavior, drug use, alcohol use. Arrest rates have declined as well as racial disparities in arrest rates. And there've also been declines in racial disparities in sentencing outcomes. And so it's really sort of throughout the criminal justice process.
I want to key in on something you just said. Rates of crime, and as I understand it, violent crime in particular, lower for youth these days than they used to be. Now, I think a lot of the time when we start a sentence, kids these days, we're going to say something bad after that. This seems good to me and something that people aren't really that aware of, Jason.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, recent cohorts of youth, sort of however you want to look at it, are exhibiting lower rates of criminal behavior, either self-reported criminal behavior or arrest rates, much lower rates of drug use overall, and youth alcohol consumption has actually declined by about 50% in the last 30 years.
Now, let's look more at the disparity. And we're looking at the prison population here in particular. Can you talk about just how wide the disparity is between black men and white men in prisons, even after, as you mentioned, the faster decline in incarceration for black men?
Yeah, so in 1999, the disparity in incarceration rates between black men and white men was about 9-1. And after this, you know, period of decline, it's about 6-1 in 2019. So still a large disparity, but we're also, you know, at the lowest point of disparities that we've seen in decades. And I'll note that this decline in disparity was actually larger for women overall. So black women in 1999 were about 9 times more likely to be imprisoned than white women. In 2019, that's about 2-1. So the disparities are declining both for black men and for black women as well.
Now, you also slice this up in different ways. I want to look at black men in particular here. You looked at the change in the likelihood that a given cohort of black men would end up in prison. How has that changed over the years? The numbers are kind of shocking.
Yeah, so people might be familiar with this estimate that gets, you know, used in the media and in political speeches sometimes, that 1 in 3 black men would go to prison at some point in their life. And we find that that was true among black men who were born in 1981. About 1 in 3 would be in prison, had been to prison by age 38. But for Black men who were born in 2001, however, we estimate that about 18%, or 1 in 5, will go to prison by age 38 if the current incarceration rates remain stable. But if incarceration rates continue to decline, that estimate that 1 in 5 will go to prison may end up being even lower than that. So in other words, the risk of going to prison for Black men was cut nearly in half in just 20 years.
Talking to Jason Roby, a co-author of a study that came out of UW-Madison looking at incarceration rates and racial disparities here in Wisconsin and around the country. He's now an assistant professor in the School of Criminal Justice at the University at Albany, SUNY. Jason, that 1 in 3 number, now that's gone down, but you write in this report about that almost being a milestone, a common life event for Black men, and at earlier points, a greater likelihood that a given Black man would end up in prison than graduating from college. That is a number, another number that has flipped over the course of the period you research.
Yes, exactly. So among Black men who were turning 25 in 2009, about 17% had been to prison and about 13% had graduated college. But just 10 years later in 2019, this had completely flipped. About 12% of 25-year-old Black men had been to prison and about 18% had graduated college with a bachelor's degree. So both in overall terms and relative to other sort of life experiences, incarceration has declined for recent cohorts. And I should note that, that's not, you know, based on projecting out into the future or making any sort of fancy statistical adjustments. These are, you know, estimates for real groups of young men based on when they were born and when they were turning 25.
Now, we're looking at big picture numbers here, but you make clear in the report incarceration has a serious effect on a person's life. What do we know about some of the long-lasting impacts of that person who ends up in prison?
Yeah, so this has been a really big topic for research for the last 20 years or so. So we know that people who have been to prison tend to have worse health outcomes, lower rates of employment afterwards. They face extreme discrimination in the labor market in general. And in general, it just affects virtually every aspect of life. Lower rates of participation in democratic things like voting. In many states, people who have been to prison are restricted from voting. And so in general, it affects basically every aspect of life.
Now, a big question that I think is a little bit beyond the scope of your this particular report, but I'm wondering if you have thoughts on it. The relationship, if any, between incarceration rates, right? How many people we end up putting in prison, and the actual crime rates?
Yeah, so in general, in over this period, we've seen that both have been declining. So incarceration rates, like I said, nationally peaked in about 2007. Crime rates peaked in about 1991. And so, you know, at some point, there has to be a relationship between crime and people going to prison. And that's generally what we've seen is that as crime rates have declined significantly in the last 30 years, incarceration rates have started to decline as well. And as incarceration rates have declined, we haven't seen an uptick in crime really at the national level. So in general, you know, we can reduce incarceration while still reducing crime rates as well.
Jason, people might hear that and say, well, wait a minute, haven't I heard about increases in some violent crime, including homicide over the COVID era? And for some urban areas, at rural and suburban areas too, we have seen an uptick after those years of decline since the 90s. How does that fit into that longer-term story?
Yeah, so that's an excellent point. Homicide rates in particular did increase nationally and in many cities across the country during COVID, but they were still quite a bit lower than they were when they peaked in the 1990s. And overall rates of violent crime actually didn't increase too much nationally. And similarly with property crimes, if you look at the trends in property crimes, they didn't actually tick up that much during the COVID pandemic or in the last 2 years. There were some increases for particular kinds of crime like motor vehicle thefts in particular. But in general, rates remain much, much lower than they were in the 90s.
Jason, I won't ask you to predict the future, but what big questions are on your mind as we watch for what happens in the years to come?
Yeah, I won't try to predict the future, but I will say that what we see generally is that the declines in incarceration have been the starkest for young individuals in particular, particularly for young Black men. So for Black men aged 20 to 24, the incarceration rate over this period declined by 66%. And so in demographic terms, we refer to this as population momentum towards potentially accelerating this decline in incarceration rates overall, and also in the lifetime risks of incarceration, as this sort of younger cohort that we talked about who have really low rates of criminal behavior and arrest and are now also experiencing lower rates of criminal justice contact in their youth, we expect that those individuals and those young cohorts would probably have even lower incarceration rates than the current, you know, individuals who are older than them.
And Jason, if a state lawmaker were listening and wondering, okay, what's my takeaway here for this information? What kind of things would you want to highlight in this report?
I mean, really, it depends on the state. And one of the things we find is that this trend has been pretty consistent across all of the states. So every state has seen some decline in Black male incarceration rates in the last 20 years. In 27 states, that decline was at least 40%. And so really, what states should most likely be doing is looking to what they've been doing over the last 20 years. And because we've seen these, you know, significant declines over the last 20 years, this suggests that some of the things that we've been doing and some of the adjustments and policies that we've been passing and making in the criminal justice system over the last 20 years have actually been working to some extent. And so if we're looking for where to go in the future with future policies, the past might give us some indications of where to go.
Jason, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rob. It was a pleasure to join you.
That's Jason Robey, assistant professor in the School of Criminal Justice at the University at Albany SUNY. He was with us today to share a new study on declining incarceration rates in Wisconsin and around the country.